I want to back up and make that statement again. He said, Peter said, we believe and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was answering for everybody. But within that room, there was somebody that was not what Peter thought they were. And so the Lord knew when Peter said that, the Lord knew things that Peter and the other disciples did not know. And so the Lord was going to spend the rest of his ministry living with a secret that nobody else knew. Amen. The matter of fact, Judas is mentioned 9 times in the Bible by John. John talks about Judas more than any other of the writers in the Gospels. Now, my thought is simply this. When John wrote over there in the epistle of John, chapter 2, 19, he said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were never of us. Now, I say that to say this. John said, no doubt with maybe Judas in mind, that there are going to be people that we encounter, amen, in the house of God that are going to leave sometime. Now, sometimes people leave because they're not born right. Sometimes people leave because they don't believe right. And then sometimes people leave because they don't behave right. But the fact of the matter is, there are going to be people, amen. I was listening to the song that we were singing, amen. We all know that song. I've had some hard spots. You've had some hard spots. We've all had some hard spots. But I'll tell you, the good has overrode the bad, amen. And the hard spots have got me closer to God, amen. Letdowns, disappointments, discouragements, amen. Hey, that's all a part of the Christian life to get us more like Christ. Amen and amen. I don't like them and you don't like them, but they are a fact of life, amen. Jesus knew what nobody else knew. Jesus knew what nobody else knew. Now we know, and I don't have to deal with that, from the foundation of the world. He's God. He knew from the foundation of the world. But I want to just simply take that thought in the human aspect of the Son of God. He knew what nobody else knew. Amen. He knew that what Peter said was not true about everybody. And so for 3 years, he's going to live with a secret that nobody else knows about. And you know, in our life, sometimes we live with things that nobody else knows. We live with secrets, but nobody else knows about it, amen. And he didn't tell anybody. He didn't go gossip about it. He did not tell anybody. And I want to try to deal with that a little bit tonight with the Lord's help. He didn't go talk to his brother about it. He didn't go tell the ladies about it, amen. He didn't even tell anybody. You know, I guess I'm saying he didn't gossip. Amen. I looked up that word gossip. To flatter is to say to one's face what you wouldn't say behind their back. To gossip is to say behind one's back what you would not say to their face. Gossip, amen. Amen. I looked up the word since I was on that thought, gossip. Gossip is something that goes in one ear and out your mouth. The favorite hymn of the gospel is I love to tell the story. Amen. Someone said a gospel is like an old shoe. His tongue never stays in place. Yeah. Amen. I simply say that to say this. Hey, gossip has run down more people than automobiles and trains. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Gossip is like coffee. It normally is handed to you without grounds. Amen. Amen. They know all the details, but they have no facts. Yeah. Yeah. Amen and amen. Amen. Hey, this has been a way since time began that you're going to have to deal with falseness. That was true in the Old Testament. Hey, Moses had to deal with the false magicians. Amen. In Egypt. He had to deal with the mixed multitude. Amen. Hey, you get to the gospel, they had to deal with the wheat and the tare. Amen. You get to the latter part of the day of the epistles and you see Timothy, amen, dealing with apostasy. This know also in the last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. Hey, it's just a way of serving God that you're going to have to deal with falseness in those that you serve God with. Now, that's not to discourage us, but that is reality. Amen. Hey, we're going to deal with people, amen, that depart. Look back in our text tonight, verse 66. Look back in our text. It's like, from this time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. You're going to have to deal with people that depart. Amen. I've been in my church 30 years. I've had to deal with people that departed. Amen. And it is a heart-wrenching thing to deal with people that depart. Hey, you're not only going to have to deal with people that depart, you're going to have to deal with people that are deceived. Verse 69, we believe and we're sure.
Yeah.
Peter said, we believe and we're sure, amen, thou art the Christ. Well, Peter was saying for himself, but he didn't know about others. You're going to have to deal with people that are deceived.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Then you're going to have to deal with people that are demonic. Verse number 70, he said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to deal with these types of people in serving God, amen. Now, I've lived to see that, and you've lived to see that. We are living in church. I'm not here to discourage us tonight. God knows. I really wanted to preach on something to shout on. I really did. But we're living in days that we are seeing this prevalent everywhere we turn. I mean, when you're hearing about leading, well-known, nationally known, internationally known preachers that are molesting children. Buddy, how wicked can it get? Hey, when you're dealing with preachers that do things that are not even natural. I mean, when you're dealing, I've had these experiences. You're dealing with preachers that are independent, fundamental preachers putting on skirts and trying to influence young people. And the church says, that's our pastor and we forgive him. Are you listening to me? We're dealing with some stirring situations. I was having a fellowship in my church some few years ago. Independent, that's the only kind I have, independent, fundamental Baptist preachers in a fellowship meeting. And I got a phone call. And this fellow on the other end said, what time is the meeting today? And I didn't recognize the voice. And so I told him what time it was. And he said, well, we want to come. Give us some directions. And so I gave him some directions. And when all the preachers gathered in, I saw that man walk through the door. Well, the moment I saw him, I knew him. He was a sodomite. And he said that he was an independent Baptist preacher. That's alarming. Hey, we're dealing with falseness.
Amen.
We're dealing with deception. Amen. Thank God you have a pulpit that lets you know about the deception that's in our land and the deception that's in our churches.
Amen,
amen and amen. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you live with things. I want to get this down on everybody's level. It's not just from the pulpit. Sometimes you're living with things that you know that you cannot even tell. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, it's not always, hey, this man was a man of position. Hey, Judas was a man of position. He was a treasurer.
Yeah.
Amen. We're not talking some fly-by-night fella. We're talking about one of the 12 that walked with the Son of God. He was a treasurer. He was a man of position. He wasn't just in the church. He was a man of position.
Amen.
Yeah, he was a popular man. How do you know? Well, they voted to give him the money. I think if you can vote to give a man the money, you must know him pretty good.
Amen.
Hey, not only that, he was a praiser. His name was Judas. That comes from Judah, praise. You'd go to church, you wouldn't spot him by him not shouting. Amen. He'd have been shouting in the singing. He'd have been shouting when the choir was singing. He'd have been shouting when the preacher was preaching. Amen and amen. So he was a man that was praying. He was wicked, but he wept. Are you listening? He lived every day. The Lord lived every day with something that nobody else knew. He lived with a secret. Now, here's my message tonight. How do you live with a secret? Real quickly. How do you live with this kind of secret? First of all, here's my point number one. You cannot let it dominate you. You cannot let these things that you know dominate your life. And I don't want to just relate it to pastor church and church to pastor. I want to relate it so maybe in your life you're living with things that you know that nobody else knows and you can't even tell it. How do you live with that? You cannot let it dominate you. You can't be like the fellow who quit watching football because every time they went into a huddle, he thought they was talking about him. He was paranoid. I'm just simply trying to tell you, I'm not going to live my life always looking over my shoulder, worried about who's going to stab me in the back. As a matter of fact, goodness and mercy is following me. I figure goodness and mercy can take care of those that are trying to get me. Amen. My point is simply this. When you've got this in your life, you'll care. If you aren't careful, you'll let it dominate your life. Amen and amen. What did Jesus do? Hey, he just went on and healed the sick. Hey, he just went on and touched the lamb. He just went on and restored sight. I'll tell you what Jesus did. He washed their feet. Amen. I tell you, all the crowd gathered together. They were arguing on who's the greatest. And Jesus got a basin and a towel and washed the feet of the very man that was out to deceive him. I'm saying you can't let it dominate you. Amen and amen. I have a tendency when things like this to come in my life, it's all I can think about. It's all I can do. It's all I can, when I go to pray, when I go to read my Bible, when I go to do anything, I got this in my mind. It's always with me. Can't let it dominate you. Amen. That's the very fact. That's the very thing the devil wants to do. Amen. Hey, John Mark forsook Paul. What did Paul do? He went on. Hey, Demas forsook Paul. What did Paul do? He went on. Now, I want to say this. Paul told who it was.
Yeah.
It come to a place that Paul told who it was.
Yeah.
Amen. But he didn't let it dominate him. He went on to serve God. Hello. Hey, Judas betrayed the Son of God, but Jesus went on and did what he came to do. Hey, it did not stop him from accomplishing the will of God. He went to Calvary. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, children forsake you, you got to go on.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Hey, parents forsake you, you got to go on.
Amen.
Hey, husband forsake you, hey, you got to go on.
Amen.
When I preach this, I got 1,000 things running through my mind. That the days in which we're living, that people are being forsaken and let down and disappointed and discouraged. And sometimes it's knocked them out of serving God. But you can't let it stop you, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We must go on.
Amen.
Can I let it dominate you? Amen. Number two, real quickly, but you must not deny it.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Hey, we can't live with our heads in the sand. Amen. Don't live in denial. It's real.
Amen.
Hey, this person I know this person is in sin. I can't tell you, but I know this person's in sin. Hello. You can't deny it. Amen. You can't believe it. I'll tell you what, I think I can say from personal experience, I've had situations like this come in my life, in my ministry, and when I was confronted with it, I just could not believe it was them. But when the facts got out, I couldn't deny it. Amen. You cannot pretend it doesn't exist. That may sound like a contradiction, but the fact is, you cannot dominate it, but you cannot deny it. I'll tell you what, when it happens, it provides a condition to show how excellent we are. What did the Lord do? Well, Christ lived with them. Christ continued to minister to them.
Yes.
Amen. It gave him an opportunity to show what an example he was.
Yes.
I found that it's easier to get along with them than get along with you.
Amen.
Hello.
Right.
I hope it gets better. Amen. Number two, what does it do? It provides an opportunity to show how close you can be to Christ and be lost. Hey, Judas was mighty close to the Son of God, but he was lost. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, the further I get down the road, I think we're going to find out who's really saved when it's all over, amen. Amen and amen. Hey, it provides an opportunity to show that we all probably got one. Are you listening to me? You know, you can be very impressive outwardly and be lost. If I found out anything, I'm telling you, church, and I don't want to go in, I really don't even want you to think about no name, but I'm telling you, when a man stands in the pulpit and preaches all over the world and thousands flock to the altar, supposedly being saved, and then you find out half of his ministry, he was molesting children, you can be very impressive and be lost. You will never convince me a man molesting children. I don't care how many come down the aisle. You'll never convince me he's saved. You can be very impressive outwardly and be lost. Amen and amen. I'm seeing things today I thought I would never see.
Amen.
And I'm not saying everybody that messes up is lost. I'm not in trying to infer that, but I am telling you, people put a shady mark on their testimony when they do things that are absolutely out the normal. Somebody help me, amen. This is not an easy message to preach, amen. Hey, it shows me we all probably got one. Hey, if Jesus had one, if Jesus, who was the pastor of the church, if he had one, you reckon we got one? Matter of fact, you know, Jesus and everybody, we would disagree, but we love each other and disagree. I personally believe Jesus is pastor in the church. He's got 12 members. And out of those members, now we're talking about a perfect pastor. He's got 12 members. One is a doubter, Thomas. One is a denier, Peter. And one is a devil, Judas. And he ain't got but 12. We got 200 in here. And I didn't come to try to accuse nobody. But I'm telling you, if a perfect pastor, amen, had three out of the 12 that was doubting and denying the devils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, church, you can be very impressive outside and end up not being what you ought to be. I'm simply saying to us, he's living with a secret. You better don't rule out gut feelings. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God sometimes, and you can't even tell it. The Spirit of God sometimes will tell you that's not right. Hello. And you can't say anything about it. I don't want to get ahead of my message, but I'm going to throw this in. You know why he couldn't say nothing about it? They wouldn't have believed him. Hello. You know, we were shouting it out tonight, and I'm sitting over there thinking, dear God, I got a message that we can't go shout on. Are you listening to me? Hey, I remember one time, many years ago, I just got into an independent Baptist church. I wasn't saved in this environment. And I remember many years ago, me and my wife had finally got into a good independent Baptist church. And I remember one Sunday, we were sitting in church, and all of a sudden, this couple walked in. Out of nowhere, just walked in. And when they walked in and walked down the aisle, and I don't want you to think bad of my wife, but I am telling you, when that couple walked in, my wife punched me. And I looked over and she said, "That's trouble. I thought you judgmental thing you." And so we went home and she said, "Honey, I don't want to say that. I don't even want to think that." But she said, "That's trouble." I said, "Honey, come on now. You don't even know. How are you going to say?" She said, "All I know is the Spirit of God nudged me and said, that's trouble." So what did we do? We embraced them. We bought them dryers. We bought them washing machines. We took them out to supper. We had them over to supper to just wipe out all the feeling that she had. "Honey, we gonna prove that you wrong." Well, bottom line was, it destroyed the church. She run off with the preacher. I'm talking about a church that run about 140, 50. I'm talking about a church that had 300 or 400 people in the Christian school. I'm talking about a church that had 20 and 25 people out on visitation on Thursday night, just men. That church is no longer here. The church that I was called to preach out of is the church I was in. That woman destroyed that church. And the first time she walked in the church, my wife said, "That's trouble." Are you listening to me? You better don't rule out those gut feelings. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? Living with a secret. Number one, you cannot let it dominate you. Amen. Number two, you can't deny it. Number three, you must dwell on the other 11. Are you listening? Here's what I found. John mentions Judas 9 times, but he mentions Peter 34 times. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, one Judas will cause you to forget about all 34 Peters. Are you listening? Hey, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Thomas, right on down the line. One Judas will cause you to forget about all the rest of the people that are serving God. Yeah. Amen. I tell you what we better do. We better thank God for those that, hey, have not left, how those that have stayed with the gospel, amen, and backed the church and supported the church. I think the preacher said it well tonight. The preacher said it well. I tell you what, we need to come together because we need one another. Amen. Yeah, amen. If you can't find help in the church, I don't know where you can find it. Yeah, amen and amen. I thank God for the church. When I think about those one Judases that left me, I think about all those Smiths and all those Shillinglaws and all those Huffs and all those Cronts and Mitchums and Moody's and Nettles, and I could go on and on, Neils. I think about all those that have stayed. Hallelujah, amen. Hey, don't let one Judas mess you up on what the rest have done. Amen. My daughter's our pianist, amen, and sometimes I go to the pulpit and I'm mentioning who's not there. And so she gets me after church. She said, Daddy, I know we're supposed to think about those that are not there, but why don't you think about those that are there? I said, you're the pianist, right? She's even told me before we go to church. She said, now, Daddy, if so-and-so ain't there tonight, you know why they're not there, let's just go home in the service. Don't talk telling about everybody who's not there. I said, your job is to play the piano, and my job is to do the pastoring. Amen and amen. Somebody help me. I want all 153 fish to be there. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, the Bible said, I've used this verse many a time down through 30 years, when two or three are gathered together. Amen. That's a cop out on where the rest of them. Amen. I've used that verse where two or three are gathered together. Hello. But you know, I found out where two or three are together in that text, the context of that Matthew chapter 18, when he's talking about where two or three are gathered together, he's talking about a problem. Amen. He said, if your brother have aught, go see him. If he won't listen, take two or three, go see him. If he won't listen to you, take him for the church. Then he said this, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst. He said, I'm coming to help you on a problem. Amen. Yes, amen. You know what? I want to turn that around. If God would show up for a problem, how much more you reckon he'd show up if we praise him? Amen. He said, where two or three have come together to solve a problem, I'll show up. But I'd much rather him show up when we come to praise him. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad if he'll come on a problem, he'll show come if we praise him. Amen. Amen. That's why I believe he's here tonight. That's why I believe he's in this church tonight. Why? We come to praise him. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm simply saying to you, hey, you got to dwell on the other 11. Thank God. Hey, you must be warned of the danger. Are you listening? Jesus knew more than the disciples. Peter said, we are sure. Amen. Hey, Peter, the Lord knew more about the danger than Peter did. Peter was fooled. Could that be why Jesus was living with a secret? Hey, why was Jesus living with that? Why was he not telling that? Peter was so sure, hey, had the Lord told him, he probably wouldn't have believed it. And I am telling you, there's situations come up sometime that I'm going to tell you, you know, and nobody else knows. And if you were to tell it, nobody else would believe it. Are you listening to me? Hey, look with me. Look with me. The Bible said in Matthew 26, real quickly. Matthew 26, verse number 22. You know this. You know what he's saying here. And they did eat. And he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one to say unto him, Lord, is it I? I'll tell you how deceptive it was. They were blaming themselves. They wasn't blaming Judas. How deceptive can sin be? It was so deceptive. They were questioning themselves. They was not questioning Judas. Are you listening to me? Look down at verse 25. This blows me away. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? How deceptive can sin be? The man who's doing it. We'll ask a question, who is I? Are y'all listening to me, church? I remember years ago, I was a treasurer in the church that I come out of. And me and this fella used to count money together. He was a rough fella, had a rough background, used to be a bouncer in a nightclub, and had supposedly gotten saved. And he was about 6'5", weighed about 250 pounds. I mean, he was all man. And me and it was mine and his job to count the money. Well, I'm 5'6" and weighed about 150. And so one day the preacher come to me and he said, Brother Alfred, I got bad news for you. I said, what's the bad news? He said, you count the money, right? I said, yes, sir. He said, money is disappearing. I said, I ain't taking it. He said, I know you. I don't think you're taking it, but I know this. Money's disappearing, and we got to find out where it's going. I said, preacher, you really mean somebody stealing money out of the church? He said, we're absolutely sure. And he said, we have set it up this Sunday that if they take money where we got it, we've got them caught. And if we got them caught, then immediately after the church, I'm going to announce a men's meeting. And when I announce that meeting, you know they caught. And so they set it up to meet after church that Sunday? Should the money be disappearing? Well, I was back there counting the money with this 250-pound bouncer. And all of a sudden, my pencil fell on the floor. And when my pencil fell on the floor, I reached over to get it. And while I was over to get it, I saw him raking money in his pocket. Now, he's 250 pounds, and I'm 150. What did you do? I didn't do nothing. I got a little bit of sense, amen. Well, sure enough, he took the money. The preacher come and went to the pulpit and called us off the side and said, they took the money, and we know who it is. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm announcing a men's meeting. Right after church, he announced a men's meeting. All the men were going back to the office to have a meeting. And that man that counted the money with me, he said, what's the meeting about, Brother Alfred? I said, somebody's stealing money. He said, who is it? I said, I think we're going to find out in this room. Are you listening to me? You know, it's sad that people could be that wicked in the house of God. Make a long story short, we got in the room and the preacher said, somebody's stealing the money. And he went around the room and he went all the way around the room, asked that man, said, are you stealing the money? And everybody in the room said, no, we're not stealing the money. And he said, sir, you got the money in your pocket. Are you listening to me? I'm saying that to say this. Hey, he was saying is that I and had the money in his pocket. Sin can be very deceptive. Are y'all listening to me, church? Hey, Jesus was getting them ready to reveal a secret. Look in verse 70. Back in our text, look at verse 70. Back in our text tonight, notice what he said in verse 70. He said what? He said, Jesus answered, said, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is the devil? He told the disciples that. He said, I want to tell you, disciples, there's a devil in this crowd. He was getting them ready for the secret. See, Judas's presence always created doubt. Anytime Judas was around, there was always dissension. Are you listening to me? He did not give the details, but he did give the danger. Hey, the shepherd is to guard the sheep. And I don't want to just relate it again. I want to relate it in our lives. There are people in this room tonight. You're living with things that you know that nobody else knows. Amen. It's a secret. But I am simply saying to you tonight, you can be sure of this. It's of the devil. Amen. Bible said one of you is the devil. Only the devil would parade himself like Judas did. I was preaching revival. If I called the church, you would know it. And so I won't call the church. He's a well-known preacher. I was preaching revival. And after the revival that week on Friday night, the preacher called me back to the office. And we went back to the office. And he said, preacher, he said, we had a good meeting. He said, but I really think this thing would have broke out. But he said, I have a very deceptive man in the crowd. I said, really? And I just certainly didn't ask. But we had went out to supper one night. This man had had us over. And when we got to his house that night, me and the preacher, we was going to have supper. And he said, I'm so thankful to have you men of God in my house tonight. And buddy, I mean, he poured it on. He said, and instead of asking the preacher to pray, I'm going to pray myself. And he prayed, oh God, thank you. I'm so honored that these great, great men of God would be in my house tonight to eat in my house. And you have graced my house with the presence of these great men of God. I was thinking, dear God, evidently he don't know me. But anyway, he prayed a notorious prayer, but us great men of God, we sat down and ate, went to church that night, thought we had a pretty good service. He said, I was so honored to have you men of God in my house. He said, would y'all come back over after church tonight? We went back over, as far as I can remember, another prayer, thank God for these great men of God. And I said, man, thank God, this man thinks we something. And so the preacher that Friday night, he said, preacher, we had a good meeting. He said, but a lot more would have been done but there was deception in the church. I said, I have a man in this church that's out to get me. I said, man, I hate to hear that. And I left it right there. He said, you know who it is? I said, no, man, I don't know who it is. He said, it's the house we ate in. I said, preacher, you have got to be kidding. That man had us in his house and prayed that kind of prayer and raved over us as being great men of God. And he's out. And he did. He did try to destroy the work. He did leave the church. Sin can be very deceptive. Yes. I stand amazed. I tell you, I've been in it a little while, but I stand amazed how deceptive people can be. Amen. Amen. Exactly. I never understood why people wanted to go to church and live that kind of way. That's exactly. Man, if I was going to live that way, I sure wouldn't do it in church. Is anybody listening? Amen and amen. I am telling you, he was a man of position, a man of power, a man that praised. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, he betrayed the Son of God. Amen. But notice, I talked about the betrayer. Notice the betrayer. I want to say, you've been detected. Yeah. And you will be destroyed. Are you listening? The secret's out. Look in John 13 real quick. I promise you I'm through. Look in John 13 real quick. The Bible said in verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. You know the context of that scripture. In verse 26, Jesus answered, said, he it is to whom I will give the sop when I've dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Look in verse 27. Look in verse chapter 13, verse number 2. And the supper being ended, the devil, and having now entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Here's my simple point. Jesus handed him the sop. He told John, the man I hand the sop to, that's the man. That's out. I want to tell you now, two people know it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, the secret's out. Yeah. By the way, handing the sop was a gesture.
Yes, it was.
Of friendliness.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Don't think you haven't been detected because the people of God are still friendly to you.
Yeah,
man. Hey, the people of God may know and have a secret that nobody else knows, but hey, you haven't fooled them because they're still friendly to you.
Right.
Nobody knows they're still treating me good. Nobody knows, hey, they wouldn't be acting this kind and this way to me. They don't know. I want to tell you, don't judge that they don't know because they're still friendly to you. Are you listening to me? What are you trying to say? Hey, if you're a betrayer, you will be detected and you will be destroyed. Somebody in my writing said again, the reason he did not let the secret out, they wouldn't have believed it. Sometimes it's got to get down to the point where everybody knows that it's real. Are you listening to me? Hey, remember this, Pharaoh drowned babies, but Pharaoh was drowned. What you reap, you're going to sow. Are you listening? I want to tell you, the plan of redemption is going on. I don't care how many Judases come to the house of God, the plan of redemption is going to go on.
Amen.
Amen. One Judas cannot stop the work of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible said, I tell you, God looks at things radically different than we do. Hey, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. The Bible said in Psalm 76:10, surely the wrath of man shall praise God. God can take the wrongness of man and turn it around and cause it to praise God. You know what I get out of that? Hey, when that comes to our church, God can rally us together. Seems like that's the point tonight, amen. God can rally us together and help us to be closer than we've ever been, that the work of God will march on for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, church, I found this to be true. Sometimes God has to remove people. Amen. That's not pleasant. I don't like it. But sometimes God knows more about it than we know.
Amen.
And I have to put it in the hands of God. I have never in my church preached, you look better going than coming.
Amen.
Dear God, I ain't trying to get them in.
Right.
I told our church, I don't care if they polka dot, fuzzy green. It don't matter to me. Let them come. Hello. I'm going to say that again. I don't care if they polka dot, green, and fuzzy. I want them to sit in my pew and let them preach to me. And let me preach to them.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we have some pretty fuzzy looking ones come too. Hello, Tokyo. Is anybody listening? But I found this out. You can't clean them till you catch them.
Amen.
I ain't talking about leaving them like that, but I'm talking about that's the way you got to get them. We're in a society today. If you go reach people, they probably going to be green polka dot and fuzzy. But let them come. We want them to get saved.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Oh, I say to us tonight, amen, God's work is going to march on, amen.
Amen.
Hey, Judas was destroyed, Pharaoh was destroyed. I want to tell you, maybe you're living with a secret tonight. And we could all tell stories. I remember I had a godly family in my church. My heart still breaks to think about it. We had a godly family in my church. He was a preacher. His wife and his girl sang. They had a godly testimony. They used to stand on the platform and sing, and he was called to preach, and we sent him to Bible school, and he graduated from Bible school, and I mean, I just had great expectation for him. His family would stand on the pulpit, on the platform, and sing. A lot of times they'd sing a cappella, and I'm going to tell you what, I thought they had the real touch of God. Make a long story short, that family's busted up tonight, Brother Ray. Their family is completely destroyed. The girls are out in sin. The woman looks like a lesbian. God help us. Hey, I'm telling you, when you get in sin, the bottom line, it will destroy you. Amen. Sin is no, and sin is stronger than good sense. Good sense will tell people not to do some things. Hey, that even, hey, sin will cause you to do things. Good sense will tell you not to do. Well, I'm just simply saying, hey, you're going to sometimes have to live with a secret. But eventually, the secret will come out. Amen and amen. May I say living with a secret, but may I close by saying this? It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Maybe tonight in some facet of your life, you're living with a secret. Amen. I had a lady come up to me. I preached this message somewhere, and a lady come up to me, and she said, "Preach." And I thought, really, you preach a message like this, honestly, you go home and think you're struck out. Had a lady come up to me after I preached this somewhere. She said, "Preacher, you don't know what a help that was to me tonight." She said, "I got a gut feeling about a situation." She said, "I can't tell nobody. I'm living with it." She said, "But I have a fear that it's true in my family." I found out sometime later it was true. Are you listening? Hey, we sometimes have to live with a secret. But I do want to close by saying this. It's no secret what God can do.
Amen.
Thank God he can turn it around for the glory of God.